Scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew 23, verses 16 through 26. Matthew 23, verses 16 through 26. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Thank you, Brother Jason, for that reading from the Word of God. Thank you for being in our worship assembly this morning. We're delighted that you are here to worship and serve God and to bring Him the sacrifices of your heart. As we study together our lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 23, noticing a word that Jesus applied to the religious leaders of His day, and that word is blind. Have you ever been driving down the highway and you're going along, you think you're everything is fine and you're traveling in safety, and then you notice a car next to you begin to swerve into your lane? And if you don't do something to avoid a collision, that person's going to plow into the side of your vehicle. And you realize that by the way that person's looking and becomes nervous and begins to look over their shoulder, that you might have been in that person's blind spot. When our teenagers look at the driver's manual for the state in preparation for their driver's license, there's a section in there about being very careful when you're driving and realizing that there is a blind spot. As you drive your vehicle, you're facing forward, and you have a rear view mirror up here inside the car and rear view mirrors outside the car. But they do not give you a complete panoramic view of everything that's happening all the way around you. There's some little places where you can't see, hence the blind spot. Young people have to be very cautious of that. You can be involved in a serious automobile accident if you're not aware and take the necessary precautions to check and see if a vehicle is in that blind spot before you change lanes. A blind spot can be very dangerous. And that's not only true with regard to the mundane affairs of life. That's true with regard to spiritual things as well. As you travel down life's highway, you'll have a grave danger before you, and it could be a blind spot. You may develop a blind spot like the scribes and Pharisees of our text in the lesson this morning. When Jesus accused the Jews of being blind, he wasn't saying that they were completely blind and could not recognize any single spiritual truth whatsoever. But there were some things that they failed to recognize. He was accusing them of being blind with regard to some things, not everything. Paul wrote of this in Romans 11 and verse 25 when he said, blindness in part is happened to Israel, in the King James Version of that text. And a blindness, a spiritual blindness or a spiritual blind spot could happen to any one of us, just as it did with the scribes and the Pharisees. There may be many people in our society who have a blind spot in spiritual matters. What are some of the spiritual blind spots that are so common among people of our society? Let's consider some in our lesson this morning. There are many people who simply cannot see their own weaknesses or their sinfulness. They have a blind spot with regard to that. There are many examples in the Bible of people who were blind to their own weaknesses and their own sins. Some of those are the Pharisees who invited Jesus into the house to eat with him in Luke 7, 36 through 50. In Luke 7 and verse 44, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered this house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. A blind spot existed in that person's life. Another example is the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18, verses 10 through 13. Luke 18 and verse 11 says this, the Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. That person had a blind spot. The church at Laodicea, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Revelation 3 and verse 17 begins by saying, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and in need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. A warning from the Lord about a blind spot that existed in the church at Laodicea. Anyone who has a blind spot, unable to see his own weakness, unable to see his own sinfulness, is in very great danger of spiritual ruin because, number one, he will not have the humility that he needs to have. Luke 18 and verse 9, Jesus told a parable of some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Galatians 6 and verse 3. If anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He has a blind spot. An example of this is the publican in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18. 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and was praying with himself, you recall. I thank God that I'm not like other people, swindlers and unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But he had a serious blind spot, didn't he? Anyone who has this blind spot is unable to see his own weaknesses and his own faults, is in great danger of spiritual ruin because he will not have the right attitude toward others who are guilty of sin. Paul, in the Galatian letter in chapter 6 and verse 1, admonished believers in that passage, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." So that you too can ward off the blind spot. So that you too can see clearly. When the Pharisees questioned the disciples about Jesus' activity in Matthew 9, 11 through 13. Matthew 9 and verse 11, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means," he told them. "I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." They had a blind spot. The comparative passage is Luke 15, verses 1 and 7, which I've noted for you that you may look at later. Anyone who has a blind spot, anyone who is unable to see his own weaknesses, his own faults, his own sins, is in danger of spiritual ruin because he will not love God the way that he should. And Luke 7 and verse 47. Luke 7 and verse 47, Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, her sins which are many have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." You recall in the household where Jesus went to eat. Secondly, there are many people who cannot see their obligations and what their responsibilities are because they have a blind spot. What might some of those be? What are we talking about? Well, in the case of husbands, sometimes husbands do not see clearly. They have a blind spot with regard to the responsibility that God has placed upon them to be the head of their house. In Ephesians 5 and verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church. Also to provide for his family's necessities," in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever," the Bible says. Sometimes the husbands have a blind spot and can't see that they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of their family, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That's their father's main responsibility. Some husbands have this blind spot, and some people seem to think that they can work out a different arrangement with their spouses that will be okay with the Lord. And the husband relinquishes his spiritual leadership of the family and turns that over to his wife or to someone else, the grandparents maybe. Some people think that's okay with the Lord. Some husbands can only see the authority that God has given them in Ephesians 5. But when it comes to the part about loving their wives with a sacrificial love, the same way that Christ loves the church, and loving their wives like they love their own bodies and nourishing and cherishing their wives, sometimes they have a blind spot and fail to do that. Some wives do not see the responsibility that God has placed upon them to, number one, love their husbands in Titus 2 and verse 4, to respect their husbands in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, and to submit to the authority of their husbands in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. They have a blind spot. Sometimes fathers and mothers have blind spots with regard to their children. The Lord has placed upon parents the very serious responsibility of raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God has placed that serious responsibility in their hands to teach their children, to set rules for their children, to discipline their children, And that involves spending time with them in such passages as Deuteronomy 11, 19 through 21, and Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Sometimes church members do not see the responsibility that God has placed upon them to do the work of the Lord, to abound in the work of the Lord consistently and persistently in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. They have a blind spot. Sometimes they do not see the work of evangelism that the Lord has placed in their hands, of education, of edification, of benevolence. And every Christian must abound in that work in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Sometimes church members do not see the responsibilities that they have to one another in the family of God and thus have a blind spot. Paul said in Romans 12 verses 4 and 5 that we're members one of another. We have a special relationship to one another. And in that special relationship, we have special responsibilities that we are to fulfill, that grow out of that relationship. To love one another, John 13, 34. To be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. To comfort one another and edify one another, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. To be hospitable to one another in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9 and Romans 12 and verse 1. To be submissive to one another in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. To consider one another, to stir one another up to love and good works from Hebrews 10 and verse 24. To teach and admonish one another in Colossians 3:16. To exhort one another in Hebrews 3 and verse 13. To bear one another's burdens in Galatians 6 and verse 2. Each Christian is to esteem others better than himself in Philippians 2 and verse 3. And many other responsibilities that the Lord has given His people to perform that we're to be careful about, that we don't develop a blind spot and fail to see those. Some Christians can fail to see or have a blind spot about how to apply biblical principles to everyday situations, and this happens all the time. Particularly some that seem to stand out have to do with the way that we dress in life. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 9, says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making claim to godliness. Every Christian must agree that the Bible teaches that Christians are to dress modestly and that dressing immodestly is forbidden. But many women and their husbands do not see how to apply that teaching. They have a blind spot. They don't see how modern-day swimsuits or hemlines above the knees or exposed cleavage or skin-tight clothing that they wear, how that those things can be viewed by God as being immodest. They don't see the difference in dressing like a woman professing godliness and dressing like a woman professing worldliness. Lasciviousness is everywhere condemned in the Bible. In Galatians 5 and verse 19 through 21, where the works of the flesh are categorized specifically in that passage, we have these words: immorality, impurity, sensuality, and they are called deeds of the flesh. And it is said of those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Could it not be any plainer? But yet some people have a blind spot. Every Christian must agree that lascivious conduct, sensuality, that which tends to produce lewd and lustful emotions in others, is wrong, that it is sin. But many men and women, even in church, have a blind spot. And they fail to see how to apply that teaching that you're not to be lascivious or sensual. They don't see how modern day fashions and clothing incites lewd and lustful emotions in others. They don't see how modern dancing tends to provoke lewd and lustful emotions on the part of others. They don't see how nudity and sex scenes on the television set or in movies inflame lewd and lustful emotions in other people. They have a blind spot. Blind spots are very dangerous. Many people cannot see their inconsistency, even glaring inconsistency, when it comes to doctrinal matters. There are some religious people in our world who teach that a person is justified by faith only. The Bible teaches that believers are justified by faith, but it does not teach that this justification is by faith only. Now, most of these people, if you ask them the question, don't we have to repent of our sins in order to be saved? Will reply, yes, you certainly do. And if asked, don't we have to confess faith in Christ in order to be saved? Most would say yes. But then they will deny that baptism is required by the Lord in order for a person to enjoy the remission of his sins, because, they say, salvation is by faith only. If it's by faith only, it can't be by faith plus repentance. It can't be by faith plus confession. Faith only is faith only, and that alone. And they cannot see that they are being terribly inconsistent. They have a blind spot. Some Christians know enough about the Bible to be able to rightly divide it and determine correctly when someone is guilty of wrongdoing before God. But when it is a friend, when it is a family member, when it is my child, or when it is even myself, I become all of a sudden inconsistent in the way I apply the Scripture and judge by a different standard. In doing that, I have a blind spot. Paul said, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Do you preach that one shall not steal? Do you steal?" In Romans 2 and verse 21, and many other comparisons of the same vein are in that section in Romans 2. Some allow their emotions to cloud their good judgment. They can exercise perfectly good judgment with regard to the deeds of others, but fail to do that with regard to their own deeds or someone close to them. That's a blind spot. There's a warning that needs to be issued. There's danger in there. There's spiritual collapse there if we allow that blind spot to destroy us. Some inconsistencies are severe enough to be defined by the word hypocrisy. Many people cannot see their hypocrisy, even when everyone else can see it so very clearly, and it's because they have a blind spot. Just like the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. They've seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, all that they tell you, do. And observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them." There are some Christians who know, for example, that division in the body of Christ is sinful. But they have a blind spot when it comes to considering their own divisive attitudes and their own divisive words and their own divisive actions that cause schism or division in the body. They have a blind spot. They know full well that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, appealing to Christians by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. And they know that Paul later in that letter in chapter 12 and verse 25 said, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And Romans 2 and verse 8, but those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what's coming to them? Wrath and indignation. The Lord hates this abomination. Proverbs 6 and verse 19, the one who spreads strife among brothers. Brothers can know full well what the Lord's position on division is, but have a blind spot and do everything they can possibly do to create division and schism in the body. And that's dangerous, very, very dangerous. There are many people who cannot see what God has done for them and how God has blessed their lives, how God has graciously provided for what they need in this life. How we see God's blessings has a great deal to do with how we live our lives in this world. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." The one who sees and appreciates the good things that God has done for him and the good things that God has given him is the one who will put his trust in God. He is the one who will live for God. The one who has tasted the kindness of the Lord, 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, is the one who will be diligent about studying God's Word so that he can rid his life of all things that will be displeasing to God, and so that he can grow into the person that God wants him to be. He can be a spiritual giant in God's estimation. As Paul says in the Roman letter, the kindness of God leads you to repentance in Romans 2 and verse 4. Seeing and truly appreciating all the good that God has done for us will cause us to repent and turn to God and follow His Word so very closely in our lives. What causes a person really to have a blind spot? If we can determine what the cause is and we can cut it off at the cause, then maybe we won't fall into that category of having a blind spot and being in the danger of having that blind spot. Two main causes of spiritual blind spots, I think, are ignorance and dishonesty. Ignorance. In Romans 10, verses 1 through 4, Romans 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer for God for them," for his Jewish brethren, "is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." They didn't have some knowledge, Paul said. "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." There was some knowledge that they refused to have. Thus, they were ignorant about something. And it's often the case that the ignorance causing the blind spot sometimes is willful ignorance. I want to be ignorant. Peter wrote of this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 when he referred to them and said, "It escapes their notice." They're willfully ignorant of this. Ignorance is a problem. Dishonesty is a problem also, I think, that causes blind spots. Some were being persuaded by the things that were spoken by the Apostle Paul in Acts 28, beginning in verse 24, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. "The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Blindness wasn't a problem that just originated during Jesus' time, was it? Blindness happened a long time ago, spiritual blindness on the part of God's people. What is the remedy for blindness? Those two things are there very important about the cause of blindness. Hence, we should know what God says to us, and we should be honest about what we read. What is the remedy? The remedy is found in Revelation 3 and verse 18. The Lord says, "I salve to anoint your eyes that you may see." Where do we buy this eye salve? Is it available at the local pharmacy? It's a figurative expression, isn't it? He goes on to say in Revelation chapter 3, after he says, "You need eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down on my Father with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let us take some of that spiritual eye salve and anoint our eyes that we may see if we have fallen into spiritual blindness. Let's realize the danger of it. Let's be careful to know God's will, truly know it, seek it from its source, open our Bibles, look into the Scriptures and see what God has said. Let us not be ignorant. Let us learn what God says. And let us be honest with what we read. And if the Bible calls on me to repent of a sin that I'm guilty of, let us change. Let us repent. Let us correct ourselves. God will see that. And He will know our genuine repentance. And He will bless us if we follow His will. What about you today? Do you have a blind spot you need to correct? Do you need to become a Christian? Do you believe in all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you be willing to confess Him before men, to repent of sins, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, as the Bible teaches by the cases of conversion in the book of Acts and by other doctrinal principles throughout the New Testament? Will you do that today? And can we help you? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.